This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. It was February 10th, 2024, 12 and a half months since my previous employer and I had parted ways. I'd been low on cash for months, operating on pure fumes, trying to figure out how to make the transition to entrepreneurship once and for all. In truth, I'd been trying to do it for years prior, with one foot in and one foot out the door of the quote-unquote safe and secure W-2 world, which, in truth, is anything but. I'd met my co-founders Moshe and Razin about 6 months prior on Y Combinator's Startup School, which is a co-matching platform for founders, if you're unfamiliar. I'll leave the details of our initial work and our business for another episode, but suffice it to say, our vision was and is immense. I was working on polishing our pitch deck late into the night back in February when at 1:23 a.m., I saw this text come through from Moshe. "Guys, pack your bags," he said. "We're going to Dubai." We'd had an introductory call 2 days prior with the managing director of the Middle East arm of the world's top zero-day accelerator called Antler. Now, this must have been our 10th or 12th call of its kind with various angel groups and a couple of other accelerators, and we were actually getting a fair amount of calls lined up, but we weren't having luck getting commitments or closes for our pre-seed raise. But this, I thought, could change everything. This represented an inflection point, an opportunity that so few people got access to, and just when I needed it most. After I read that text, I took a second and I paused in shock. I gave it another minute and then opened my email and did a double take. Yep, there it was, an offer letter to attend Antler pre-launch residency in Dubai. It was a 10-week program for founders and early stage teams to jumpstart their company together with a group of other entrepreneurs. We'd get access to resources, coaching, and at the end, the chance to pitch our venture to investors. Getting invited to Antler as a founder is statistically more difficult to do than getting accepted into Harvard. For context, Antler accepts about 3% of the applicants across their 12 global locations. And in 1 month, according to this email, I would be one of them. I couldn't believe it. I looked up, exhausted but ecstatic. In that moment, following a year of financial desecration and uncertainty about the future, this offered a small piece of hope when I needed it most. I stood up and felt a wave of emotion come over me. I dropped to my knees in my apartment kitchen and began to cry. It felt surreal. I walked out onto the balcony beneath the dark Nevadan sky. Breathing heavy, I locked my jaw, I looked up, and thanked the universe, vowing that this opportunity would not go to waste, that it could not be taken for granted, and that my inclusion meant that some other entrepreneur was turned down. And so I start with that story to provide a little bit of context for the lessons that I want to share that I've gleaned thus far, but also for the seriousness and the vigor and the passion that the modern entrepreneurial game requires for you to bring to bear in order to be successful. And so I suppose this episode also serves as my kind of official announcement of my participation in Antler. You know, being selected and coming here to Dubai has been incredible thus far. I've been here for a month as of recording, and I just wanted to pull out five learnings that I've had so far, and I want to document them here. And I think that these will be relevant regardless of whether you're a founder, a coach or consultant, or a creator economy entrepreneur. And so I'll go ahead and jump right in. Learning number one, there's smart people all over the world, right? And this might just be me, and maybe this is just a byproduct of me just having been so hyper-focused on the US business ecosystem the last 10 years, like literally heads down, absorbed in the Western commerce world. But as the only American national in the cohort, it's been eye-opening for me to see how diverse the startup scene is here in MENA. And MENA stands for Middle East, North Africa, if you're unfamiliar. I'd just never been exposed to it before. Whereas in the US, there's this concentration of a lot of, showy, fluffy, acquisition-focused sales energy. Here, it feels much more real, in a sense, from a product perspective. And the Middle East is a hotbed for the sciences, for engineering, for R&D, and for industries of the future in a way that the US just is not. Dubai, for example, is going to be a city of the future, and it's already the premier tech hub in the Middle East. So while I am still acclimating to the culture and the norms, and this is my second time in Dubai, so I have been here before, but it was only for like a week last time, I could actually see myself moving here if we end up incorporating in the region. I have absolutely nothing holding me back or tying me to the US. And when I look at the facts, you know, no personal income tax here. It's safer here. There's no crime. I mean, it's cleaner. People have a certain respect for the culture, for law and order. There's a uniformity in values, right? In a way that I'm not sure that the US has anymore. I think the US is on a slow decline, but Dubai in this region is on an incline. So that's takeaway number one. Number two, your coach's and investor's job is to pick holes, to push you, and to test you. This doesn't mean they aren't interested or aligned in what you're building. It means they want to see how you react to adversity. They know that you'll face adversity in building your company. So if you can't handle it with poise when you're provoked, how are you going to handle it in the dog-eat-dog world of building a company? And so when coaches or investors inquire after a pitch or when working together, they aren't necessarily looking for a perfectly articulated response. Of course, having a well-thought-out answer that reflects detailed preparation is ideal, but they're also looking at how you respond. They're looking at your body language, your demeanor, your tone, and your confidence as much as what you say, especially at the pre-seed stage where you're raising on an idea. And so to go off of this, I would also note that the importance of brevity in responses to investors' questions is absolutely critical. You have 10, maybe 15 seconds at the most to respond to an inquiry before attention starts to drift. And this is just a general truth in the world. This isn't just limited to, you know, pitching or raising or answering questions from investors. So entrepreneurs that are, you know, pitching their company to anyone have to learn how to respond concisely with definitive answers, no beating around the bush, no theoretical ideas, and no deviating. My mantra for responding to inquiries from investors, which I'm not perfect on yet, but I'm working to refine, is this. Three words, one sentence. Three words, one sentence. Done. So as an example, tell me about your go-to-market strategy. How are you guys thinking about that? Okay, this is a question that a VC actually asked me the other day, and I sort of stumbled, right? I started going into the market and adoption trends and making generalities and no, like, stop. Answer the question, three words, and then one sentence. So what might a better answer have sounded like? How about this? Maximize neuropersonalization exposure. We'll do that with a five-pronged strategy, including a pre-sale, 5 to 7 influencer partners, and launching with an existing audiobook summary company, which in tandem should propel us to our goal of 16,000 customers in year one. Boom. And so the goal is to compact as much potent value in as short a time frame as possible where you can. While you don't have to be perfect, you do have to be prepared and potent. And so keeping your cool, bolstered by a little confidence, even if it's forced confidence for your calls and your presentations, is better than none at all. Okay, lesson three, outwork everyone. Other people might have more experience or have made more on their last exit or be better at this or that, but you must ensure that no one outworks you. No one is outworking me at this cohort. I'm almost always the first one in and the last to leave. I don't do it to be proud. I do it simply because I cannot fail. To be clear, I have no plan B if this doesn't work. I'm in a tough spot right now, and winning is my only option. I have everything riding on this, and while everyone is in different places, right, I know that I need to give every last ounce of energy and devotion to this journey. This is how I operate in life in general, and I know that done on a long enough time horizon, eventually the tables will turn as success becomes an inevitability. And so one of my overarching life principles is that you have to work so hard that it would be unreasonable for you not to be successful. work so hard, it would be unreasonable for you not to be successful. I'm staying late to practice running through my pitch 5 or 10 times every night after work. I'm getting in by 6 or 7 a.m. most days. For me, this isn't to feel good about myself or anything like that. It's a math equation for me. If I can maximize the time canvas upon which I can do work, then I can increase the output of work that I can do, but also the amount of time that I have to find the right levers to pull to lead to success. More time in the lab equals a broader spectrum with which to innovate. But I also know that time worked does not equal amount of success, right? I think it's correlated, but I don't think it's causal. So all things being equal, skew away from time and focus on results. Consider Parkinson's law. People fill work to the time allocated for its completion. Now, I'm someone who needs more time to get to the right results. That's just how I work. So this is my philosophy on work. Hard work plus smart work plus time in the lab equals inevitable success. Learning number 4, let programs that are supposed to be transformative transform you. Drop all resistance and go right into the unknown. I was thinking on this the other day. You know, I'm at a point where I need pressure, I need stress, I need discomfort in order to actually be happy. The comfort zone is a cunning trickster, deceiving you into believing that familiarity is safe and that the risk of being exposed or annihilated by taking the risk of jumping into the darkness is too much to bear. But it's not. The only time you can actually grow is when you push yourself out of your comfort zone. And so experiences that are meant to test you and transform you can only work if you have this perspective, if you drop your guard down and allow them to work on your consciousness. One of the first things that they told us here was to trust the process. And I have that tattooed on my arm for a reason. It's a core tenet of what I believe. Trust the fucking process. When the entire world is crumbling around you, all you have left is a glimmer of dignity and your trust in the grander plan. I'm hanging on by a thread, candidly, guys, but I have this bright light right here, right now with this experience, this rare opportunity that so few get. I have to try to forget the pain of the past and literally like just go right into this, trusting that on the other side, there awaits my goal, the reason I came here, and trust the process to get there. I had a thought the other day that the universe makes the difficulty of the journey commensurate with the scale of the goal. And that hit me so hard. Like, the universe presents difficult journeys commensurate with the size and scope of the lifestyle you say you want. And so to get the goal, you must go through the fire. Sometimes the only thing that you can do is endure, is to be exposed and to figure out how to survive. Okay, lesson 5. So bringing it down to be a little bit more practical, there's an arbitrage edge for Westerners who bring their knowledge, experiences, and connections from back home overseas. My company, Neocore, is an international one with 2 co-founders from the MENA region. When everyone else in my old world is doing one thing, assuming it's the only way to do it, turning yourself into a transplant and taking that halfway across the world can give you a unique edge that others are not tapping into. My old world was coaching and consulting and influencer this and Instagram that and that whole world, which frankly, I'm really turned off by these days. I largely failed in that world and I was so immersed within it, trying to be this influencer persona, not realizing that I could win bigger, easier, and in other unorthodox ways. And so I came up for air a year or so ago and said, wait a second, let me look where others are not looking here around me in my country. While everyone else is playing status games on Instagram and TikTok, talking about prospecting and sales calls and lead generation and coaching bullshit, let me go try to build an actual high leverage tech business where it's a lot harder to break in, where you have many less people trying to break in, and where the space hasn't even emerged yet into the mainstream. And so that's exactly what I did. I connected with my 2 Iranian co-founders. I came over here and we realized that we were an absolute perfect fit. Values, vision, complementary skills, perspectives, me bringing my Western connections and my market acumen, them bringing their deep domain expertise in brain science, now coming together to build something truly exquisite. We need one another. And so there's a real opportunity for you to bring your abilities, your connections, your capital, your skills overseas to places in the world where it will be more in demand, where you can become more highly leveraged, and where you can create outsized results compared to what you could get in the US, which again is on the slight decline in my view in terms of opportunity, especially compared to places like Dubai, KSA, Qatar, Singapore, etc. And so the arbitrage opportunity to take your skills from a place where they're not respected, not seen, and not desired, in my case, to a place where they are recognized, where they are seen, and where they are desired, I think is ripe right now for outside-the-box American entrepreneurs and tech founders who are also nomad capitalists, willing and able to go inject themselves or insert themselves into other corners of the globe. And then I had one more, and I'm gonna drop off with this as a bonus. And this one came to me last night as I was reflecting just on how the last 15 or so months of my life have changed so dramatically from the direction that I was headed in, seemingly despite my best laid plans to do the quote right thing. You know, I jumped ship from my job of 5 years at Emarsys to a company where I doubled my salary. I had been working to acquire a multifamily property and was literally ready to make an offer on a place right before my job was discontinued. And I'd invested 30 grand in an Amazon done-for-you store that's been suspended now for well over a year. And as I alluded to, like, I'll just be candid here, I'm out of cash. Yet it's paradoxical because I've done more growth, more learning over the last 15 months than the 15 years prior. I've read more books. I've had my own book on the way. Content Capitalist launches in 2 weeks from now. I have a startup business on the precipice of really doing amazing things. And I'm sitting in Dubai on my balcony writing and recording this right now. And so the final bonus learning that I want to share with you is this. Sometimes everything you want must appear to fall away so everything you need can emerge. And I had been scheming for so long on a vision of like 10K months and 20K months and what it would take to get there. And I had finally assembled these various pieces of the puzzle, the Amazon store, the 140K year salary that I'd landed finally, the real estate that I was about to buy. These things were looking so good. Then boom, I was dropped by my employer. I was thrown to the wolves. And subsequently, I lost everything. But why? Like, really, why? I've been searching for that answer for the last year of my life. And I realized this last night, my vision, my vibration had actually surpassed even that reality, which I was on the brink of activating. The reality I would have activated through those channels that I was about to launch could have gotten me to those 10K, 20K months in due time. But during the process of leaning into that, my mind and my body was actually feeling into 100 million, even a billionaire, like, energy. I was watching those billionaire lifestyle videos on YouTube daily for hours. I would just have them playing on my TV, like, as I worked. And soon, feeling into that billionaire energy was my main focus. And so, what did the universe do? It adjusted my trajectory. It cut off the reality that never could have gotten me to where I said I wanted to get to where I needed to get to. And it realigned me on a pathway that actually could. And that's why I'm at Antler. I'm not here to build $1 million or $100 million thing. I'm not here to build a unicorn or even a decacorn. I'm here to build a centicorn. I'm speaking it into existence, and now I get to go create it. And what's more, I have an opening, an opportunity, a team, and a product that can actually make that kind of vision a reality. Long though as the road will be, I have to believe in our ability to bring that big, bold vision to reality. So that's where I'm at right now. Those are five learnings and one bonus that I have so far from my time here at Antler in Dubai. And I will continue to make updates as we go along. Really appreciate you tapping in for today's episode. And that's all I've got. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.